Welcome to the Spotlight Edition of the Future of Medicine podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Craig Wright. Join me as I have conversations with fascinating medical experts as we discuss a variety of compelling topics. We aim to not only inform you, but to empower you, instilling confidence along your journey toward optimal health. This podcast is brought to you by Brentwood MD. Located just south of Nashville, Tennessee, Brentwood MD provides best-in-class concierge primary care. To learn more about our innovative approach to primary care, visit our website at brentwoodmd.com. On this Spotlight Edition, I'm blessed to be joined by Dr. Brooke Eastham. Dr. Eastham has been a dermatologist with Nashville Skin since 2014, specializing in medical dermatology for all ages, as well as aesthetic procedures. She graduated summa cum laude from the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. She then earned her medical degree from the University of Tennessee Health Science Center in Memphis. She received several honors there, including the Faculty Medal and the Dr. Herschel P. Wall Exemplary Service Award. Dr. Eastham completed an internship in internal medicine and her dermatology residency at Harvard Medical School, with training at several prestigious hospitals. She has published peer-reviewed articles and presented at various conferences. She is a board-certified fellow for the American Academy of Dermatology. As we conclude our conversation, Dr. Eastham and I explore strategies for skincare to guard against signs of aging, including several aesthetic procedures, and we will highlight the significance of a healthy lifestyle as a fundamental aspect of skin health. Let's dive right in. Well, Brooke, thanks again for joining me, and look forward to getting into these kind of next round of topics, too, that are very pertinent to really everyone who could be listening. One thing that I see my members come to me often with is talk about their skin health as they age. And so a lot of people ask me, you know, what would you recommend for kind of those visible signs of aging, the skin changes, the wrinkles, the sunspots? How do you approach that as a dermatologist in terms of somebody who wants to kind of protect their skin from signs of aging?
Yeah. So kind of, you know, the very basics that really pertain to all patients would be sun protection, you know, being kind of the number one thing. If you invest, you know, your money in all the lasers, all the cosmeceuticals, but you don't protect from the sun, you're kind of negating everything that you're investing in. So that's number one. And I feel like, you know, most of our patients can get on board. And then it becomes, you know, how much do you want to do? You know, some patients say, look, I want to do a few things, but I need a three-step regimen. You know, what's your top three? And you know, again, you know, in addition to sunscreen, there's vitamin C serum. It's great. Vitamin C, vitamin E, ferulic acid. Those are antioxidants that can help protect against DNA damage from the environment. Also give a little extra sun protection. They boost collagen, they brighten the skin, but they're typically very gentle. They're not things that typically irritate. So most patients can use those.
Gotcha.
You know, another big buzzword you'll hear is hyaluronic acid. Think of that as a hydrator, pulling water to the surface, smoothing the skin, and then peptides that boost collagen. So those are all some very basic things that, you know, patients of all skin type can use. And then, you know, it gets into retinol. So tretinoin, tried and true Retin-A. And that's not for everyone. You know, you really have to assess skin sensitivity, how sensitive is your skin, sun sensitivity. And those are creams that we incorporate for a lot of patients if they can be tolerant, if they can do it, you know, consistently. But you've got to keep it simple. You know, if you have 12 bottles of serums on the counter, but you don't use them, they're not going to be effective. So I find, you know, crafting, you know, a basic approach, and then you can layer on. Skincare is key. I feel like that's you know, a big deal. Laser kind of gets into the next category. Laser, microneedling, things that can really make a big impact, and then you use skincare to maintain. Those are things that can clear up complexion. They can help with fine lines, help with pores, and tighten the skin. And the list of treatment options is a mile long.
I bet.
it's pretty expansive.
And as you think of those, it seems like there's kind of some things that you might recommend patients to do on their own, you know, things that they can access openly. And with those, Are there any particular brands that you recommend, or like a one-stop resource where they could look for the vitamin C and the E and some of the the topicals and things that they might want to apply? Do you have any resource to share?
Absolutely. So, you know, I always like my patients to have an over-the-counter option. Mm-hmm. So we have lots of kind of more clinical grade cosmetic products in our practice. We have our own skincare line with Natural Skin. But I want patients to feel free to go to the drugstore as well. Mm-hmm. CeraVe, very common skincare brand. They have really expanded their product lines. In general, CeraVe is a very gentle product line. They're geared for patients with sensitive skin. So I'll often recommend CeraVe for patients that say, look, I want to do something. But I often, you know, get rashes or my skin burns when I put things on, and CeraVe is a great resource. La Roche-Posay is another line of products. They're kind of a French-based company. Really good skincare options, also very gentle. And I try their products myself. So I feel like I can kind of, you know, vetted them, and a lot of our staff members will use them and incorporate them into other things they might have that are a little bit stronger.
Great. And then as we get kind of away from things that are easy access and more into the categories like you mentioned, laser, microneedling, common ones that I think I still see a lot, Botox injections, filler injections. How do you approach that as dermatologist? And when a patient maybe comes to you and is interested in those things, how do you guide them in terms of risk and benefits and selection?
Right. So I think, you know, one thing to start with be complexion. You know, hey, I'm 45, I've got a lot of sunspots, broken blood vessels. You know, what do I do? One great treatment option that can really kind of clear all of that up is called BBL. So that's broadband light. It's not technically a laser. We kind of lump it in the laser category. But with one treatment, you can get rid of reds and browns, essentially. And that can make a huge impact. That's our biggest treatment. Women will often treat face, neck, and chest, so kind of bring it all the way down. And it can really kind of turn back the clock. Then you get more into resurfacing. So these lines are bothering me, pores, acne scars. And that's where microneedling is a great entry point. Very well tolerated, typically a series of three treatments. We'll often recommend that to someone that's never done anything, and they say, I kind of want to tiptoe in. And then you get into your bigger lasers that are, you know, a lot of our lasers are fractionated, so downtime's not too bad, but you're going to have a couple days of looking bad before you look good. And you really start to ask kind of, you know, not just what's your end goal, but what's your downtime? How much time do you have to recover and heal? And a lot of us are too busy to do a big laser and be down for 2 weeks. You know, those lasers still exist. We don't use those a lot in our practice because most of our patients are busy. They might want to take a couple of days to heal, but they want to be, you know, back in action pretty quick.
Chemical peels. I'm sure that's probably like a really broad generic term, but I see that in my community where these are being done. What's kind of the thought there? It seems kind of aggressive, but that's just my like...
It's not. Okay, so it's actually a, you know, a chemical... Well, they can be. I should rephrase that. You know, you could do a very superficial chemical peel along with a hydrofacial. I do those about once every 6 weeks just to brighten. So really kind of a pressure cleanse, unclog your pores, really brighten things up a little bit. We're not doing a lot with lines and wrinkles with that. It's really more of a brightening agent. Love to do it before an event, a trip. You just want your skin to feel really fresh. There are more aggressive chemical peels that can really take off layers of skin. Those are really used more in the plastic surgery realm. So somebody might have a facelift and then they layer on a chemical peel. I find that more of an old school method. Now the plastic surgeons are really doing more laser, and I think it's much more effective. You get a lot more collagen boost with that. So things are, there's a place for chemical peels, but I usually say, look, that's kind of a brightening agent. Maybe decrease melasma a little bit. That's where we use a lot of chemical peels for melasma, because some lasers can make that worse. But yeah, there's still a place for them, but they're not always aggressive.
That's good. Good. Well, and kind of along those lines, in today's world of social media and influencers kind of promoting certain tactics, are there any things that you've seen patients do for a good purpose to help their skin that you're like, oh, I wish you hadn't done that? Like, that might not be as good as it was sold to be. Is there anything that you're really like, be cautious of this?
I think fillers are a good thing to kind of bring into this conversation.
Okay.
So fillers have a big role in aesthetics, and when done right, they can do a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. But overfilling is bad.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
You know, some patients will want, you know, larger volume in their lips or cheeks, and they just go too far.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where I find patients, you know, kind of saying, maybe we should have been a little more conservative.
Gotcha.
There. We're extremely conservative in our practice. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you'll get patients that maybe were oversold on a syringe.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the sales tactic there. And so you have to be really cautious of that.
That's really good advice, because just like anything, you know, we could have other conversations in life where you can take a good thing too far.
Mm-hmm.
And so this
moderation.
Is good. Yeah. This
moderation is key.
Yeah. Which I think we might actually get into that in a little bit.
That goes into aesthetics as well.
Well, it's good to know though that there really is, that comes to mind for you in terms of things that people may seek,
yeah.
but it needs to be done with good guidance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one thing I would also add is skincare. You know, right now, I don't know how old your kiddos are, but I have a 9-year-old little girl and they're already talking about skincare products. And
yeah.
Sephora and Ulta. And I think where I really want young girls to understand, they do not need all of those things.
Yeah.
And that, I feel like we see a lot of, you know, young kids or teens getting into the brand and overusing products.
That's
so,
really great advice.
You know, a really difficult, you know, patient a few months ago was a 16-year-old that came with her mom, and she had about 16 skincare products.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to back her down and say, let's pick three.
Yeah.
Let's simplify.
Okay.
And so I think keeping things simple and not trying too many new things at once.
Oh, yeah. That's great advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm blessed. My little girl, she's 11 now, but some of her friend group is getting into that, but naturally she hasn't yet.
Yeah.
But it's a ticking time bomb. I know she will eventually.
Well,
but,
you know, my daughter had a slumber party, and I made, my nurse helped me make skincare packages for all of them with CeraVe and La Roche-Posay. And I told them that these were very fancy French brands that they could use.
So
and
they
were
thought,
very excited.
I bet. They thought they were on top of the world.
They thought they were on top of the world.
You know? Great, great. As we transition away from kind of the cosmetics a little bit, and going more into, you know, how at Brentwood MD we approach someone's health very holistically, looking at the comprehensive picture. So we talk a lot about what I consider the foundations of health: nutrition, fitness, sleep, even stress management, relational and spiritual health. How does some of those, or all of those, foundations of health, how do you see that affect patients in the dermatology space? What are you seeing in terms of nutrition and fitness and sleep that you want to make sure people realize, hey, this is important, not just for, you know, the purposes I may talk a lot about,
mm-hmm.
but for your purposes as a dermatologist?
Yeah, that's a great question, and something, you know, I've become more and more interested in over the years. You know, some basic, you know, let's start with the basics. Acne, you know,
yeah.
I've got a 35-year-old female there with hormonal acne, and she says, I've never had acne other than the occasional pimple, and now we have, you know, deep cystic acne that's not only, you know, unwanted, you know, from an appearance standpoint, but it's painful. And oftentimes with hormonal acne, you know, by the time one goes away, another one's coming. And we can use medications like spironolactone and all kinds of topicals. But sometimes, you know, there's more going on. You
yeah.
know, they might have a hormonal imbalance such as PCOS, metabolic syndrome, and
yeah.
all of this starts to come into play. And I think that, you know, when you think about just stress in general, we mm-hmm. say that a lot with acne. Well, you know, what's been different? Has
yeah.
your diet been off? Has stress been higher? And when I think about the basics, kind of basic science, what's going on, your cortisol spikes.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, our androgens can go haywire. And that can lead to, you know, really recalcitrant, you know, acne that we can try to treat with all the medicines, but we've got to fix the root cause as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. And, you know, was I talking about that 10 years ago? Probably not.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
now I'm 41 and I've got to think about these things too.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, taking the extra minute to ask those patients, well, okay, well, what's different with diet? Are we eating more processed foods? Are we eating more dairy? Are we off with our sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Sleep is the most undervalued thing.
Yeah.
And it's so important
yeah.
and crucial. And that can all affect. And when you ask patients that, most of them say, you're right. Like, I'm off. And we need to kind of take the holistic approach.
Yeah.
That also plays into eczema. You know, somebody comes in and they're like, just itching from head to toe. I've never had this before. And if you take a minute to say, well, where's your stress level? How are you sleeping? Where's your nutrition? And most of them will say they've gotten way off track.
Yeah.
You know, and we can fix things from a skin standpoint, but that's when I also say, you need to go see Dr. Wright.
Yeah.
And we can work on this as a team.
Yeah.
But until
treat the root.
Until we fix that, we're putting a Band-Aid on this.
Yeah. It's so great to hear you have those conversations.
Yeah. And it plays a lot into psoriasis, hidradenitis, all the autoimmune, auto-inflammatory conditions. You have to think of that from a multi-system approach.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And hopefully, I would hope patients would see that as very empowering. You know, sometimes even when I'm talking to patients about their sleep or stress, it's almost like they've waved the white flag in that area. And they're like, you know, yeah, my kids are young, or business is really stressful, or I'm starting a new company. And it's like, I just, stress is what it is. And they just are like, moving on. Where I hope people will really hear that as something empowering, like, hey, this, your body, things I may see metabolically, you might see from a skin standpoint, this is kind of the eruption of that deeper process.
This is like the tea kettle is boiling.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you hit the boiling point.
Yeah. And so, I hope patients wouldn't feel that as like, you know, just a collateral damage of what their life looks like, but really take a step back and be like, oh, maybe I need to manage my stress better. Maybe I need to prioritize my sleep better. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to talk to a primary care doc about like what can we do to make sure we optimize those foundational levels, and then that eruption doesn't occur.
Exactly.
So I love you have those conversations, because it is so easy in all healthcare specialties to put on Band-Aids and send people out, put on a Band-Aid, send them out. But at some point you're like, hey, we're not treating the root.
Yeah.
You know, let's get to the bottom of this, because yes, you have psoriasis, but the reason it continues to flare isn't because the meds are failing. Mm-hmm. It's because of stress or sleep or other issues.
Exactly. So,
are there anything in that regard, are there any things that you find yourself talking a lot about as far as recommendations of how to address nutrition or stress? I mean, and I know you mentioned like dairy and processed foods.
Yeah.
Are there any other areas where you're like, yeah, I often am saying this to my patients?
Yeah, I think, you know, on the diet component, I remember being in residency and there was kind of a phase of like, diet matters with acne. Oh, it doesn't. And now it's kind of back to, yes, it does.
Okay.
And so I find myself talking about nutrition quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of recommendations, I often say Mediterranean diet. Something simple.
You know,
lean protein, healthy vegetables, avoiding the processed food.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a statement one time. It said, the longer the shelf life, the shorter your life.
That's a nice bumper sticker.
That's a really like bumper sticker of like, okay, let's think, you know, we want to eat as clean as possible. And then oftentimes our skin will get better as well.
Yeah.
I think exercise does come into my conversations a lot, just because I like to exercise a lot, and it kind of comes up with patients. That helps with stress management, you know, staying active and, you know, getting into your realm of metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance. You know, that drives a lot of the skin conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we don't talk about nutrition and exercise, you know, they're not going to get better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. Sometimes, you know, even as I've started working in the concierge space over the last few years, I think really one of the benefits to particularly our style of care is being able to have the long conversations about nutrition and fitness. But at the same time, I have to catch myself, because it almost seems too easy. It's like, wait a minute, I can manage this with nutrition. I can manage this with, you know, sleep changes. I'm like, yeah, like that's how important these are.
Right.
And sometimes we find ourselves so far down the path that it's like all these, you know, other issues have developed, which seem to take on a life of their own. But if you peel it back, you realize, let's change somebody's health picture, maybe their metabolic picture, and you'll see a lot of things just start to get improved.
Yeah, and maybe we use a medication temporarily, and we say we're going to use this to kind of bridge the gap here, and then you kind of pair it back.
Oh, I love it. I love that. I use that a lot. I've used that bridge analogy. I use that tool analogy, just like, you know, when you're building a home, you can do it a lot of different ways, but if you have the right tools, you can do it quickly and efficiently, and you kind of get to that point, and then you can put the tools down and sustain.
Mm-hmm.
So, love that. How about GI health? And this may actually, you know, look back to nutrition, but is there anything you've learned from someone's gut health or GI health that you talk about specifically in terms of how it affects their skin?
I think it just kind of goes back to that broad category of nutrition. Gut health is something that I'm very interested in. I'm far from an expert in it, but I do think, you know, I was listening to something the other day that was fascinating. I mean, gut is one of the biggest part of our immune systems.
Yeah.
What we put in
is
going to manifest in all organ systems. Your skin is your largest organ.
Yeah.
And so you got to think about it that way.
Yeah.
You know, what you put in can, you know, affects what comes out.
Yeah.
And so I think that gut health is really, really crucial, and there's going to be a lot of emerging research and information on that and how it affects skin. Mm. I think the biggest things we'll see, you know, talked about are acne, psoriasis. Interestingly, there are some, and I get this question sometimes, you know, what about gluten?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are some papers, you know, linking gluten sensitivity and psoriasis. But the way my mind kind of goes around that is, if you do have a gluten allergy or gluten sensitivity and you eat gluten, you're fueling inflammation.
Yeah.
And so any other inflammatory condition you have is also going to be affected.
Yeah.
And that includes the skin.
When I love you touched on the Mediterranean diet earlier, and you know, I've had conversations like this with many different specialists, and I can think of right off the top of my head, three different specialties that have all touched on the Mediterranean diet and just how it kind of reduces inflammation, keeps you away from some of the common pitfalls of our nutrition, and how it benefits their specialty like it does yours.
Absolutely.
So there may be something to that.
I think there is.
Well, Brooke, thanks again for joining me. As we kind of conclude our two episodes here, first off, tell me, I love looking ahead in our careers because I know things that I talk about daily now. 5 years ago, I didn't know they existed or they're new in that amount of time. Is there anything that you're really excited about on the horizon of your field that gets you kind of pumped up for where things may go in dermatology?
You know, I think, you know, just to hit on the biologics, I think it's really amazing that we have some, you know, conditions, and I won't go into my nerd brain and list them all, but there's a lot of autoimmune disease, you know, tick lupus. Everybody knows about lupus. Historically, we just had, you know, broad spectrum immunosuppressive agents that just kind of shut our immune system down. Well, now we have drugs that target the root, you know, the root inflammatory mediator, which is interferon.
Yeah.
And you can target that mediator and not have all the collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what's coming down the pike in the autoimmune realm is really exciting.
Awesome.
We're seeing, you know, medications like the JAK kinase inhibitors are going to start to be approved for all these orphan diseases that in the past we really didn't have good treatment options. And now we're going to be able to shut them down.
Great.
Yeah. So it's exciting. There's a lot going on.
That's great.
In that aspect.
That's so good. And it sounds like some of that's already come into fruition with just more and more to come.
Yeah, we have a few that are FDA approved and more. I've got a patient kind of entering a research trial at Vanderbilt soon that has really terrible lupus, and we've tried everything.
Yeah.
But now she's finally going to get access to the targeted therapy, and you know, we're very hopeful. But it's these patients need help.
Yeah, that's great.
It's exciting that we've got a lot of drugs coming out.
Yeah. Well, how can someone listening to this contact you and your practice and get connected with you if they feel like, you know, they resonate with some of the things you focused on today?
Yeah. So our practice is called Nashville Skin.
Yep.
And we now have 7 locations, which is exciting. We added 2 new sites last year, one of which is right down the street from you in Cool Springs.
Great, yeah.
And we have 16 providers. So I think one thing that we pride ourselves on in our practice is we're very good about getting patients in quickly because
that's
we do
great.
Have the capacity to bring patients on without having to wait for months at a time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we have a great website where you can kind of pull it up. It's nowskin.com. And you can kind of choose which site is closest to you. I primarily work in the Green Hills office, which is off of 21st Avenue South, as well as our City View office, which is in the Centennial Medical Center complex.
Great. And y'all are comprehensive, medical, cosmetic, everything's kind of within your roof. So no matter what somebody's interest may be, Nashville Skin's the place to go.
We have it all there. I will say our aesthetic center is located at our Green Hills location.
Okay.
But various providers across town do kind of the basics, Botox, things like that in the office, but all the lasers and with the bells and whistles are at the Green Hills office.
That's great. Well, thank you again, Brooke, for joining me.
Thank you.
And your conversation's been so valuable to me, and I know it will be to others.
All right, thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
Thanks. Thank you for listening to this conversation. I truly hope you found it useful. You can find out more about today's episode and discover additional resources at BrentwoodMD.com. Be sure to check out all of our other content that we've created by searching BrentwoodMD on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. If our content has provided you with value, it would mean the world to us if you subscribed to the show and left a review. This helps us ensure that more people, just like you, can find our content so that they can begin optimizing their health. To learn more about our concierge services that we provide to our members, visit BrentwoodMD.com. We'd love to meet you. This podcast was for general information only and does not constitute the practice of medicine or giving of medical advice, as no doctor-patient relationship has been formed. The content of this podcast is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Listeners should seek the advice of their own trusted medical professional.